Welcome to The More Perfect Union, a podcast about the joy we get from American politics. Hi, I'm Kevin Kelton. I live in Los Angeles, and I am a Democrat for at least this week and hopefully well into the future.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm a moderate Rhino Republican from Virginia.
Hi, I'm Greg Matuszak. I'll be your liberal Democrat from Cincinnati, Ohio.
And tonight we have a special guest, Mira Rose, who joins us from Virginia. Mira, say hello.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Great. And why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your political background or your political affiliation?
Well, I was raised by a lifelong socialist and a very proud one who came here from Scotland, actually. And she settled in the great state of Vermont, so you can probably guess why I would support Bernie Sanders.
Fantastic. So we'll get more into that in a few minutes. First, let me remind our audience to find us on the web at moreperfectunionpodcast.com, where you can find blogs and commentary. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast. Rate and review us on iTunes, which really helps us get more listeners. And please share our link on your Facebook newsfeed, which will also help us get more listeners and also will get our pretty faces onto your Facebook newsfeed. So this week, boy, this was a jam-packed week in politics, even though we haven't had any primaries in the last, I think, I don't know how many days, 10 days, whatever.
Oh, I thought there was not going to be anything to talk about today, but well, boy, was I wrong.
But, you know, everybody used to say that Hillary wanted to be crowned and coronated the Democratic nominee, or Trump was able to march to the nomination. But there was another coronation this week on the Libertarian Party, where Gary Johnson and his chosen running mate, William Weld, were officially given the heads of the Libertarian ticket. Guys, what do you think? Are they gonna turn this race upside down?
It wasn't quite a coronation. He did not win it on the first round. He was short about 5 votes. Was that it? 5 delegate votes, and then he had to wait till the second round till he got it. So it was not a overwhelming. It was, what do you Republicans call it? Oh, a mandate. It was not a. it wasn't a mandate of the Libertarian people.
Usually it's a vote by acclamation.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. But even still, you know, now that it is decided, I know that there is huge excitement in the Libertarian Party.
Now, let me back up for a second
and
just get a little bit of the nuts and bolts of this, because I haven't really followed this story in detail. How does one become a delegate to the Libertarian convention, and how many delegates or votes did you need to get the nomination?
It was 551, I think.
Okay.
They needed.
And how do people become delegates?
Let me look that up real quick.
I didn't mean to send you to Google.
I can tell
I am looking it up.
I can tell you how they get to be delegates. What they've basically done is they've taken what they like from, obviously, the Republican Democratic Party format, and they've kind of created their same, you know, committee to district level to state level situation, except obviously there's no governance of a true state party that goes through electoral boards. So it's pretty much the same situation, just a bit more loose.
But, I mean, there's no votes, obviously, so why do these people get to be delegates?
They do it all in a convention or like a caucus process,
Okay. And was there anybody else of any significance running for the head of the Libertarian ticket?
McAfee.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the McAfee that does the PC security virus stuff, right? Oh, okay. Okay, so Gary had some tough competition there.
And Austin Peterson he's from Missouri.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, but Johnson had already picked Weld, Governor Weld, as his vice president. And I think that kind of shored up, like, two bigger names. And, you know, I think the Libertarians are, you know, aiming for gosh, maybe 1.5%, maybe 2% this year. You know, big numbers.
Big numbers. But of course, numbers. In a tight race, enough that could
hey,
shift things.
Yeah. But if it was going to be a tight race, yeah, sure. Big numbers.
So let me put this out to Emily and Mira. I'm just curious, like, do you guys think that first of all, who do you think the Libertarian ticket is likely to take more votes from? And I guess hand in hand with that question is this the Never Trump alternative, or is there yet to be someone else that might run on an independent ticket that might be the Never Trump person?
So I'm looking at this from you know, just a head-on perspective. I think the Libertarians will increase their percentage this year, and I think they're going to have a pretty close to equal parts Never Trump, Never Clinton type feel, presuming that Hillary Clinton will be the nominee, which I think she will be. And I think that it's going to be pretty 50-50.
Uh-huh. Why does everybody always presume that she's going to be the nominee?
Because of the world.
Well, you know what?
Convention. There's no way.
Let's do this.
How many of us will be standing outside if we're not inside of Philadelphia? Yeah, going, never Hillary.
Okay, so let's do this. So the reason that we invited Mira here today, other than the fact that she's a wonderful person and is very politically savvy, and that she's a great mom, but other than those three things, Mira is, you know, we haven't to this point had someone who is a devoted Bernie Sanders supporter, and Mira is, and we felt that it was about time that we gave voice to that opinion. So Mira, Greg and I are Hillary sycophants. No, we're Hillary supporters.
I'm so sorry.
and we are going to respectfully quiz you and test you about why you have certain beliefs that are different than ours, even though we're all Democrats, I hope. First of all, tell us how you came to be a Bernie supporter. And, you know, obviously you probably love his position on the issues. But, you know, beyond that, what it is that pushed you to him and away from Hillary?
Well, number one, I've never been for Hillary. And to be honest, even if Bernie wasn't running, I would be looking for an alternative. So I don't think that just because I am a Democrat, and I am a lifelong Democrat, I've voted Democrat since 1996, which is the first election I was able to vote in.
I don't like to be patronizing, but some of us don't consider that lifelong.
Yeah, I was going to say, 1996. Wow.
Okay, so 1996, that means I've been voting for 20 years.
That's true. Okay, I stand corrected.
Yes, I'm younger, but let's stop playing the game that all Bernie supporters must be really young, because 38 is not a millennial. I am a Gen Xer.
Okay, fair enough.
I am in that middle group that everyone forgets about. Everyone talks about the baby boomers. Everyone talks about the millennials. Not a lot of people talking about where the Generation X vote from the Democratic Party is going.
I'm a Generation X. Cough, cough. Okay.
I know. I'm so sorry to see you voting for Hillary. you remember what happened with Clinton, the first one.
I know. Economic prosperity.
You know, it's not likely to be a lot different.
I know. We actually think that those were the good old days.
See, here's my problem with the good old day mentality when you apply it to Hillary Clinton. Hillary was there going, hey, I really want to try and do something with this healthcare, so I'm going to talk to all these insurance companies and all these pharmaceutical companies, and when I can't get anything done, I'm going to go, okay, you guys are right, so exactly what can I get through that makes it look like I did something? And that is not the way I think we need to govern.
You know, I don't think that was the conversation that was had.
Yeah, I think that's you know, that's one way of looking at it, but okay. Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay. What's the other way?
The other way was, go ahead, Kevin.
No, actually,
you want me to do this?
Yeah, you do it.
Okay, sure. You know, the fact is that there was a problem that for, let's say, 30 years was ignored by both parties, right? And literally, they finally said, you know what, we're going to give this to the first lady, which previous first ladies would do things like, hey, let's take a look at literacy programs, or let's take a look, which were important,
or the China in the White House,
Right. Or, hey, you know, we need new stationery.
Yeah.
And finally, we had a first lady who said, you know, I think I really could, you know, add to a problem that has been looming and neither party really wants to touch because it's. And so she tried something.
You mean value add, not add to the problem.
Oh, yes. Well, it depends on where you're standing.
Right.
And to be quite honest, no, it didn't really go anywhere. It did not make a lot of headway because, but it was a start. And it was not a success. No one said it was a success. But it laid the foundation for future successes.
She was trying to institute universal health care.
Right.
No, she really wasn't. I think you may misunderstand something here. There was a lot of framework that was laid out in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s with the disability movement when people started trying to figure out how to move their families out of institutions and bring them home. And when they started making all of these strides in, you know, putting some kind of face to individuals with disabilities, including a professor out in California who fought and successfully managed to get state and afterwards federal legislation passed that required things like ramps and that kind of thing. We had a lot of very positive momentum that was moving towards, hey, let's create some healthcare for the masses here that doesn't just say, hey, we're going to hide people away in the closet, and when they get sick, they're just going to go to the closet, and if they get better, great, and if they don't, not our problem. And we had that momentum, and then we got Reagan. And then it kind of became a backwards momentum almost, and when the Clintons got into office the first time, they really had an option. They had the ability to do something really great with it. And instead of Bill taking it and going, hey, amongst all of these other issues like building up our economy and doing all of these other things, we're going to take this healthcare initiative and we're going to do something great. Instead, what he did was he focused all of his energy on trying to prove to people that he was cool with reducing the amount of welfare and other quote unquote entitlements that they call them now. They didn't call them that then, of course. But
no, they didn't call them that.
Yeah, that we're going to people and saying, hey, you know, let's reduce the amount that these moms can have. And yeah, okay, they've had two kids, so let's reduce the amount that they can have on the third kid and that kind of thing. Because reducing support after you've made someone, you know, rely on it has ever worked.
No, you're right.
And so that went backwards. And they, he was very focused on that. And those initiatives took all of his doing. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think they went, let's just toss it to the first lady because she's not going to do anything with it.
No.
And I will give Hillary this. She is a go-getter. She's just not the right direction.
Okay. Well, this is a full-scale rewriting of history, but I'm going to give you a pass on that. And why don't we come up to now where you got involved with the Sanders campaign?
Ah, okay. Well, like I said, I'm the daughter of a socialist, granddaughter of a socialist. They proclaimed so proudly and were part of the Democratic Party for 30 years. So I grew up in it in Virginia here.
Is there a large socialist group in Virginia?
Yes, it's the Rose family.
No, it's called it's called the Unitarian Universalist Church. Socialist is it's a joke at this point, because when you call Bernie Sanders a socialist and you say I'm a socialist and I stand behind Bernie Sanders, what you're really saying is I value the opinion of everyone. And I value making sure that government works for everyone.
No, that's not what you're saying. What you're saying is he was a socialist.
Well,
socialist.
Bernie's not really a socialist.
No, he was a socialist.
What,
in he was in the Socialist Party.
Oh, yes. No, I... Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. You're confusing me with the way you put that together.
Okay.
I'm going... You don't know my grandfather.
No, I'm talking about Bernie. I'm sorry. I'm talking about Bernie.
Sorry.
My mistake.
I was going in the direction of my grandmother, my grandfather. Oh. But anyway,
they
called themselves socialists because they did believe the same way that, you know, many people did back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, that it takes a village to raise a child. So when you got 13 families, and all of them live in the same county, that, you know, the other 12 families help by...
Anyway, that sounds like a great book title.
No, you beat me to it. I was going to... Oh, Greg, you kind of killed me there. I was going to jump in and say, so wait a second. Anyone who thinks it takes a village to raise a child is a socialist?
I think so. I think that would be a good book title.
That's not wrong. That's not wrong.
So let me ask this question real quick, if you may. This is Emily. So who did you support in the last election before it got to the nomination stage? Did you support Hillary then, or did you support Barack, or did you support someone else then?
I actually worked on both of Obama's campaigns.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not a Hillary supporter. Like I said, I've never been a Hillary supporter. So how I came to Bernie was this. Long story, exceptionally short. In 2007, I was living in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, with three little boys, two of whom had been diagnosed with autism, one of whom was very, very young, about 8 months old. And they said, we're going to have a town hall meeting regarding healthcare and the things that we can do to help some of these people that don't have access to services. And some people were wandering around outside, and we went in and found a seat and got munchkins situated. And of course, you know, I don't know if you've ever met a child with autism, but sometimes when people are moving around, they can get a little edgy. And my oldest son, y'all were actually hearing before the beginning of the podcast here, started having some difficulties with the number of people that were filing in and was kind of bouncing around. And a nice gentleman and a older man came in, and the first gentleman, as he was walking through, accidentally kicked the car seat that had my 8-month-old in it. And the older gentleman just instinctively knelt down, was right there beside, you know, like any other grandfather would do. And started talking to me and realized that my other son was kind of agitated and was just very nice and very kind, asked me why I was there. And I explained to him why I was there. And we talked for a few minutes about, you know, the things that we saw as being issues, but not really talking about issues, just, yeah, you know, we have some difficulty finding this and we haven't been able to get the school to do this and that kind of thing. And the other man that had kicked the car seat came back and he goes, hey, we need to get up here. And that was it. That's how I met Bernie Sanders. And I'm going to tell you, there is no more genuine man on the face of the planet. I have met many politicians in my life, and I've always felt like they were full of something. And I've never felt that about him. So he is really a candidate that I can get behind. I worked on Obama's campaigns, and I believed in his healthcare message, his intent to really make a difference, that unfortunately I think got derailed. But I've never really met anyone or gotten behind anyone as much as I've gotten behind Bernie. I was part of the movement in 2009 that started with the Run Bernie Run. And when he announced that he was going to, I don't think any of us have ever been this happy.
Do you think Bernie should have run as a Democrat? Or do you think he should have run as an independent?
No, I think he should have run as an independent. And I get why he ran as a Democrat.
Why do you think he ran as a still running? Okay, we'll do still running as a Democrat.
He's got a great idea that Democrats would accept the idea of socialist reform within the party to kind of open up the Democratic Party to more of a progressive movement than it has tended to trend towards the last few years here. I mean, we've really been trending towards here. Let's become very more to the center. Let's see if we can appeal to some of those independents and the people in the Republican Party that might be getting a little tired of the Tea Party.
Sure. Any minute now, we're about to get Emily to come over. So
I don't know. Trump?
Oh. Well, let me.
That's another question.
I'm flustered. Greg will truly appreciate this. I'm drinking a very good high-end beer out of a very average Cleveland Browns glass, and I will let that be my answer for now.
So let's come up to present day, and that was all great stuff.
Oh yeah, it's just.
So we got into this topic when Greg and I made the mistake of saying that we thought Hillary was going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. You feel differently. Tell us how you see this playing out to the point where Bernie becomes the nominee. I mean, obviously, we all know the challenges. So talk about what you see as the most viable or realistic path.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's going to be a contested convention. I don't think there's any way that it isn't a contested convention.
Can you define that?
Well, okay, so a contested convention happens when neither delegate or neither nominee gets enough delegates to actually go in with the allotted, what is it, like 2,300
but,
or something.
But she's
like
going that. In with that. She's going in with about 2,400, 2,500.
I don't think she is, not if you count. Hold on, let me pull up my numbers.
You don't want to count the superdelegates, but she's going in with those.
No, we're not counting superdelegates because they can change their vote up to any point at the convention. Because half of these people ended up actually declaring themselves before they even knew who was running.
Well, actually, it was more than half.
Exactly.
And that's even more the point. I mean, they declared it way before. These people don't run. You shouldn't run unless you have these people set up. I mean, why would you even think about running unless you had some superdelegates lined up and saying, hey, I'm thinking about running. Would you support me? Yes. Okay. Are you sure you'll support me? Yes. Three times? Yes.
How many of these people have come out since Bernie's movement started and gone, hey, we were supporting Hillary, but now we're going to flip over to Bernie?
Actually, none. No, one. One did.
No, there's been more than one. Hold on. Let me go to my Facebook page where I've been documenting them all.
Shelby,
I think it's like nine at this point.
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
Okay.
There's two in Colorado, I believe.
So let me explain the way the process actually works, okay? Primary process was not built to say that a candidate is supposed to get 2,383 delegates from the pledged delegates. That is a falseness that has been perpetuated by Bernie Sanders voters. The superdelegates are very much a part of the process. They don't vote later. They don't vote after everyone else. They vote at the same time. Now, these are people that generally are either current elected officials like governors, senators, or congressmen, or they are ex-high-level Democratic elected officials such as Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Walter Mondale are all superdelegates. And then DNC members are also given superdelegate status, which, by the way, I'm not sure I agree should be the process, and we can have that conversation later.
Yeah, but, no, I actually have to ask you a real quick question
because
what you're saying is actually in direct conflict with the Democratic rules for the party.
Tell me.
Like the Democratic convention rules, which are online, you can actually get them by going to Google and putting in Democratic convention rules. It specifically does not allow, unless I'm mistaken,
It's
9A. I think it's section rule 9A of the 2016 rules, if memory serves. It goes along with delegate selection. Essentially, it's 2,300 pledged delegates.
No. You're making that up. I guarantee you are making that up.
I'm really not.
Yeah, no, you are. You are. We will not mislead our audience. It is. You do not have to have 2,383 pledged delegates to win the Democratic convention. You have to have 2,383 delegates, which includes superdelegates. And let me say something else, and I'm sorry to be so adamant about this, but we believe in fact and truth on this program, okay? The superdelegates...
I take a little bit of offense that you think that I'm making it up because I'm really not.
Well, you're mistaken.
Well, I don't think he thinks you're making it up, but
okay.
I think it might be you're there's a lot on the internet. How about that?
Yeah, there's a lot on the internet and a lot of things that Hillary people read that maybe isn't correct, and a lot of things that Bernie people read that maybe isn't correct. It's not one group has any hold on information or misinformation. But on this particular fact, I know as sure as the fact that I am waving my right hand against my computer right now that it is 2,383 delegates, including superdelegates. I'm sorry, I don't know where you got this piece of information. It sounds very impressive that you called it Rule 9A of the 2016 convention, but it is...
Charter and bylaws of the Democratic Party of the United States. It's assets.democrats.org/pdf/charterbylaws_my07.pdf.
And why don't you read us the statement?
It's amended by the Democratic National Committee September 7th of 2012. Oh. I should mention also, I'm in the process of getting into law school. I'm really careful making sure that my rules and everything are correct.
Why don't you read us the wording.
Oh, well, that's what I'm trying to find. I am at the... Okay, in Article 3.
Greg,
no.
What are we going to do about this? I mean,
I am. I, you know, you
here's
know what?
The thing. I think we can debate the rules all day long, and realistically, I really do want to send you this PDF so you can look at it. But
But here's the thing: is we can debate the rules. Doesn't make sense. The rules exist, and I am 1,000% sure that what you are saying, while you may believe it to be accurate, is not accurate. Okay. Now I don't know what you're reading, and I don't know what it says or how it's worded. But any argument that you have to have 2,383 pledged delegates, in other words, that you have to win 59% of the delegates in order to be the nominee, is factually incorrect. And I'm afraid, Mira, that you may be...
Hold on. We're going to stick here, and that's okay. But let's go beyond that, okay? So let's say she still... Because let's just say she does. She goes with 2,383. You're going to have...
It's going to be about 2,500, but go ahead.
Okay. You're going to have so many people standing outside in Philadelphia, standing inside in Philadelphia. You're going to have half of the party that supports Sanders, because we're really talking about her getting the party nomination by maybe 51% at that point, because realistically there are a lot of...
No, she's... Sanders supporters. Right now she's got 54% of the vote. And she's got about 90% of the superdelegates. She's going to go in with about 60% of the delegates.
Right, and she's winning right now.
Election.
Right, but she's also winning by almost, she'll be by that time winning by, let's say, 3.5 million by the popular vote, too. You know, I mean, in any way that you say, delegates.
Who's gonna win in the general election? Because here's reality: you have 54%. I'm using your numbers now. You have 54% that you say are going to vote for Clinton our primary.
That have voted in our primary. Right.
Yeah. Correct.
Right.
Okay. So by that logic, that would mean that Bernie has 46% of the Democratic Party. He appeals to independents. He appeals to Republicans who can't stand Trump. So anyone that doesn't want to vote from the Republican Party has Sanders. If they're a moderate, they have Sanders as an alternative. So if Sanders is the nominee, then the Democratic Party wins, because the Democrats have a candidate that appeals across all. Now, you got Clinton.
Right, hold on.
Republicans don't want. Am I right, Emily? The Republicans don't want Clinton, right?
What makes you think the Republicans want Bernie Sanders, a socialist who they equate, not me, but they equate with being a communist? What now, makes you think that Republicans are going to flock to that?
Well, I think they need to learn the difference between communism and socialism.
I know the difference, but you know what I'm saying, Mira.
A question at this point, though. It's not a question of whether they want it or we want it. It's a question of who's won the votes at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
Bernie Sanders is not going to be running for president.
It's not the question of who might win 6 months from now. And, you know, it's not a question of...
I'm just curious as to why you think Sanders will just step back into the shadows and disappear and won't run independent.
Okay, great question, and I can only give my opinion. I have, you know, I obviously don't know Mr. Sanders, Senator Sanders. I have no insight into how his mind works, but here's my take on it. First of all, he said he's not going to. Now, again, just like superdelegates can change their minds, presidential candidates can change their minds. So, yes, an argument could be made that maybe after he looks at the layout of the campaign after the Democratic convention, assuming he's not the nominee, he may change his mind and decide to run independent. Here's why I don't think he will. First of all, Bernie Sanders, one thing I think we can all agree on is he very sincerely believes what he campaigns on, which is that liberal policies, progressive policies are by far the better choice for this country. The last thing he wants to do is hand the presidency to Donald Trump. And he knows that if he runs against Hillary Clinton, he's not going to win, she's not going to win, Donald Trump's going to win. Bernie Sanders does not want to live out the rest of his years being the senator from Vermont who cost the Democratic Party the presidency, being the minority in the Senate.
This is the fallacy that Clinton supporters have been spouting since the day that Trump became their presumptive nominee for the Republican Party.
No, I've been spouting. I've been spouting this for a longer time than that. But go ahead.
There is nothing out there. There are no individuals that support Sanders that you can look at and have them agree that we're going to be handing Trump the nomination or the presidency. What we are going to do is we're going to say we're not going to support Clinton. We're not going to support Trump. We will vote for Bernie. There is a significant portion, because I know you know about the Bernie or Bust movement.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably have. That says no matter what happens, if Bernie is not the nominee, they're still going to vote for him. In some states, they're going to write him in. And as long as he's filed paperwork, those votes would cast. In other states, if there's, you know, the sore loser law in place, they're trying to push for him to be on the ticket with Jill Stein. You know, I'm not saying it's a great idea, but come on. Handing Trump a nomination.
Okay, let me in here. First of all, Sanders has to.
If Clinton can't reach out and get people to join with her in the party, that's not on Sanders. That's on Clinton.
That's true. Couple things.
One, Sanders himself has to agree to put his name on the ballot. They can't just say, well, we're going to put Sanders' name on the ballot, and without his signature saying, well, yes, I do want my name on this state's ballot. And Jill Stein can't put his name on.
Well, no, and I get that. There is a movement, I'm sure you've heard of.
Right, sure, there's this great
movement. So you've heard of the Green Party movement, and you've heard that they want to put, you know, Bernie on as
And they want to, but if he says at any point, hey, guys, I appreciate what you're doing, and I think you're a great alternative, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but I've given my word. Two, if Bernie can't win in the popular vote and in the delegate vote against Hillary,
he may not win in the popular vote in the Democratic Party, but if it came to the general election.
If he's splitting this vote, he's not going to win the majority vote against a third person. He would be the Ralph Nader. I mean, period. And he's not. And you can't say, well, let's throw it back.
Look back at 2000. Look at what happened with Gore. Okay.
Everyone sits there and says,
okay, Nader spoiled the Gore vote, blah, 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 blah. No, the reality was, and I supported Gore. I worked on that campaign. I knocked on doors. Sure. I talked to people. Sure. I will tell you what, the thing that bothered me the most about Gore being the candidate was that he didn't energize anyone. And if we as a party are going to continue to pick candidates that don't energize people and get them to the polls, then we are sinking our own ship.
Right. Not the point, though. The point is, though, that mathematically and science-wise and 2 + 2, he can't win the nomination. And then the next step is, well, he can do what he wants. And the people and the Bernie or Bust movement, you can't say that the 46%, all 46% of you who voted for Bernie are going to be Bernie or Bust, because that number is a fallacy,
like my mom
too.
We're saying vote blue no matter who.
Right. They're going to be voting blue in some way. In fact, the recent polls have said the Bernie or Bust movement is somewhere between 6 and 7% of the Bernie campaign. In which case,
one of my friends online posted something to a actual like document where you type in your name and say, I'm pledging to do this. And there were a significant number of signatures on there.
Sure.
Wait, sure, and these are the same people who say 28,000 people showed up to a rally. How could we not lose? Well, that's easy because there's 11 million people in the state.
Okay, well, if you really want to be specific on that, it's how many of those people were registered as Democrats in that state that were actually on the books in time to be able to vote in that primary. There is an argument, and I get that the Clinton people don't like this, but there is an argument that says not everybody votes in primaries. Not everybody that's registered Democrat shows up to vote, or if they do show up to vote, maybe they're late, maybe they changed districts, maybe their driver's license expired, the voter ID laws don't go in their favor. And in the general election, those issues are fixed. Maybe it's a small percentage, but maybe it's enough of a percentage that Clinton can't get that those people end up going, well, you know what, I'm going to vote for Trump because I don't like her.
You know, there's also an argument that the person that gets the most votes and the most delegates gets to be the nominee.
Well, I'm not saying that she doesn't get to be the nominee if that's what happens. Okay. But you asked how we end up at a contested convention.
Well, it's not going to be contested because let me explain something. Do you remember about earlier this week, maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday, the news divisions were all announcing that Donald Trump had now officially sewed up the Republican nomination because he had reached the magic number of 1,237, I think it is, for the Republicans. Did you hear those news stories?
I didn't actually, but I was also in the process of a move.
Oh, okay. Well, they did. And do you know how he got to that number of 1,237? Some significant portion of them are what they call unpledged delegates, unbound delegates, who have stated a preference for Donald Trump, and they are being counted as Trump delegates, even though their only qualification right now is being unbound delegates who have stated that they are going to vote for him, which is no different than what the superdelegates are. And when she hits that number with superdelegates and regular delegates, she will be just as much the presumptive nominee as Donald Trump is. Go ahead, Emily.
And I've spent the past couple minutes reading through the Democratic Party plan and the 2016 call, so I hope I get kudos or something for that.
Did you find it? Did you find it? Because I can't find it in there.
Okay, so all we have to go off of now is when you get to the distribution of delegate votes, which is Section 1, Part B of the call,
Section
just shows
one.
The base of the 3,200 delegate votes distributed. However, I hear
what
you're saying,
you
Kevin.
On? What page are you on?
I'm on page one of the actual call.
Page one of the call, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to scroll down. It's past. It's in the bylaws.
Okay.
What you're asking about, Kevin, is the unpledged delegates. And the Democratic Party, here's how it's done. In the Republican Party, it's done very differently. But I feel like Hillary Clinton will have a much better handle on this because when there are unpledged delegates out there, that may be super delegates, it is their responsibility to make a statement of affirmation to their district or state party chair with their leaning intention. So I think that's where some of Hillary's support is out there if anyone has question as to what that number is.
Okay. I would like someone, because I can't find it. While we're talking on this podcast for our audience, you should know that we're all desperately looking at a link that Mira kindly provided for us. And I've run the word pledged. I am seeing nothing even remotely close to suggesting that. But maybe I haven't found it yet. Okay, but let's...
Well, I'm also not finding anything that says that unpledged delegates or, you know,
So we've argued this, no pun intended, to death. Let's move on to... So, Mira, if Bernie Sanders does not become the Democratic nominee, do you think he will endorse Hillary Clinton, or do you think that that's, like, pretty much out of the question?
Yeah, there's two schools of thought on this. There are a lot of people that say, it's not that easy. It's not black and white. There are a lot of people that say he will either endorse her because he wants to, you know, strengthen party unity and ensure that Trump doesn't win. And then the other side of that is that if he does endorse her, he ends up kind of killing a part of his movement because, there are a lot of his supporters that feel that she is the embodiment of everything that we're fighting against.
So what do you think will happen?
I don't have a crystal ball on that one. Okay. I'm not sure what's going to happen if he decides that he's done. I still don't think California is out of the picture for him. I know everybody says that he's done after California.
I've got to make a statement on this one.
Yeah, nobody here has ruled out him winning to California, but go ahead.
If he were a Republican, just saying, if he were a Republican, and even just what Hillary did last time with Barack, she went on stage, she was graceful, and in her defeat, she lifted Barack Obama's arm and promised to unite the party. If Bernie can't do that, then damn it, he's not a Democrat.
Well, you're right, he's not.
Well, okay. Well, first of all,
I'll say this. That's been chafing my ass about Bernie. And you know what? I'll say this. I like Bernie. I do. I like that he has taken, and if you've heard me, I say this every week, I like that he takes the party left. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I like that he kept this going out and that he's dragged this out. This wasn't a coronation. I like all these things about him. I like that he's energized our base. But it just chafes my ass that he's not a Democrat. And he comes into my house, I'll say it, and says, oh, by the way, I've been here for 10 minutes, and I'm going to tell you how to run things. By the way, you get rid of Barney Frank from the DNC committee, and you get rid of this. Oh, and by the way, there was just an article yesterday that he wants to have final say on Hillary's VP. Why? Well, you know, because I'm a Democrat now. Ah, I'm calling shenanigans. You know, it's that kind of stuff that... Because in 3 months from now, he's going back to voting independent again. And it's stuff like that that just drives me nuts. Am I the only one? Did I get kicked off?
No, you're here.
No, you're here. So okay. We put you in the corner. We put you in timeout. No.
Oh, okay.
So, listen, we're all discussing. I have to just say that caveat every time I speak. I don't pretend that I'm the only person who's ever, you know, watched a news show or read a book. But with that caveat, I guarantee you Bernie Sanders is going to enthusiastically endorse Hillary Clinton for president. Because, first of all, he's already said he as much. He maybe hasn't said it in words, but he surely hinted at it. Secondly, you know, it's not like all of the senators and all of the congressmen are just like us. They watch CNN and they don't know what's going on in the world. These people talk to each other. These people have relationships with Sanders. He's had conversations with them. You know, Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein wouldn't be sitting back and watching this unfold if they thought Bernie Sanders was going to go rogue on July 15th or, you know, July 24th, whenever the Democratic nomination process ends. These people have spoken to the man, and the man has said, look, of course I'm going to do whatever I can to get her elected. And by the way, I want to go back to one other thing. The superdelegates have been canvassed over and over again, and not just by the Clinton campaign. AP and the major news cable networks have canvassed the superdelegates. It's not that hard. They know their names. None of them have shown any interest in jumping off the Clinton bandwagon. AP has not found a single Democrat who has said they are wavering in their support for Hillary Clinton.
Okay, bear with me. I just came back on, so I have no idea what you guys were talking about because Skype dropped me.
Well, it was all good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin pretty much changed his vote to Bernie. It
was
odd. Yeah,
right, right. You know, when compelling is compelling. So,
yeah, okay. So obviously that didn't happen. Delegates changing something. Did you need me to hunt people's names real quick?
Just give us a number.
Yeah,
just give us a
tell
number.
Tell us who. Well, I'd like to know who shifted.
That's what I'm trying to hunt down. Hold on.
There was one DNC vice chairwoman that I know of.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The one from Hawaii?
I don't know.
So while she's looking that up, let's have a little kumbaya moment between Democrats and Republicans. Yeah. So can we both agree that the Libertarian Party is a joke? And let me tell you why you should think so. So the guy running for National Party Chair of the Democratic Party, James Weeks. Libertarian, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Stripped down to a thong this afternoon at their convention.
Really?
I kid you not. There's a video of it.
Oh, okay. I'm sure we could post this on our site.
Oh, we absolutely can. He didn't get naked, so it's totally PG-13. If you were ever wondering if you know, you needed to reaffirm that we have a two-party system in this country, that will do it for you.
James Weeks. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and he did drop out of the race because of the striptease, it seems. Or he must have been terrible.
Does it really matter which came first? I mean, really, did you see the guy? Oh,
I'm actually looking at him right now. He is not what you would call. Well, he is what you would call hirsute. He is a bearded man who decided. Oh, he wore his fancy tie. or is he the older gentleman? I can't tell you.
He's the one wearing with the beard and the fancy thong.
Okay. Oh, okay, the fancy thong. I'm glad you know the difference.
And while we're on the subject of classy political moves, there's two more that we should cover at least this week. One was Donald Trump. To me, we should call him Mr. Class. If he calls her, you know, corrupt Hillary or whatever he calls her, crooked Hillary, he should be Mr. Class or Mr. Classy, because he never fails to impress me with his lack of class. Apparently, when he heard that William Weld was going to be the vice presidential running mate to Gary Johnson on the Libertarian Party, Trump said, "Oh, well, I don't talk about his alcoholism."
I read that, and I went back, because apparently I'm not defending Trump, so please don't read it that way. but Bill Weld did say something that compared his immigration plan to the Holocaust and called him basically everything short of a dictator. Not that I'm going to get in the middle of that assumption, but...
But how does that have anything to do with somebody's personal drinking habits?
It has nothing to do with it.
Okay, what does somebody's personal drinking habits have to do with the presidential campaign?
It doesn't.
Okay.
But with Trump, nothing is self-limited.
So, but to compare someone's policies to Hitler, not the person, but to compare his policies to Hitler, while it may be, what's the word I'm looking for, hyperbolic, it's not necessarily a personal attack.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love how he gets it in there with, like, look, I'm not going to talk about his alcoholism.
Well, I don't talk about it. I don't talk about the fact that he's an alcoholic. Yeah,
exactly. Right. That's his really underhanded way, you know, and he does that with everybody. Like,
it reminds me of the Kermit meme, you know, when everyone's like, "Well, I think this, but it's none of my business."
Oh, I know. Oh, exactly. I know.
Okay, so Mira is typing something. Mira, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Cool. I just didn't want to interrupt you.
I'm trying to go through. So one of the superdelegates that Bernie has flipped, according to Mira's research, is Virginia Islands superdelegate Emmett Hansen.
Virgin Islands Emmett Hansen, the second.
The second. Okay, so that's
her. Oh, yeah.
RT.com.
Okay, and like I said, we do know that there was a DNC woman, I shouldn't say woman, a woman who works at the DNC who flipped back in March. So that's at least two. Overall, he's got 43 superdelegates. Clinton has, 541. He would have to flip, assuming, look, Hillary Clinton is going to get a large percentage of the delegates from the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico this coming weekend. If she gets about half of them, that will put her to about needing 40 more delegates. That is with New Jersey, California. I mean, let's, you know, Bernie is not going to win all of California's 475 delegates.
She's not going to
end the primary season around 25, 26, 2700 delegates.
Well, Bernie, what I'm seeing right now is 1,769 pledged delegates for Clinton,
right.
1,499 pledged delegates for Sanders.
Right.
And then we're talking about 541 delegates, super delegates pledged for Hillary, except that they're not actually pledged. These are people that...
Well, they can change their vote. You're right about that.
Yeah.
They're not bound. I think what you mean is they're not bound, right?
All right. Let me help you guys both.
They're not bound, because I'm looking at some of these, and I'm seeing, like, here's a news story where it says the two of these are from Colorado and that they switched their vote, but they didn't really actually switch their vote. It looks like the Democratic chairperson for the state assumed that they would support Clinton, and then they came out and said, "Now we support Sanders." So I think maybe some of these superdelegates could be the ballgame that's going on here, is that some of them didn't declare themselves specifically for someone or another, and the party heads of those states maybe are going, our people are here.
AP has
counted them.
Yeah.
AP called them directly and confirmed it.
Okay. What if this happens?
Was it at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was a drunk dial. Absolutely. A butt call. Some of them were butt calls.
So, I got a robocall for Trump the other day, because I live in the section of Virginia where you get weird robocalls. And I got a robocall at 7 o'clock at night. That said, I know you're sitting down for dinner, but I'm here to talk to you about Donald Trump.
Well,
it's a robocall. Can you imagine that coming out at 11 o'clock in the morning?
Well, let's do this. First of all, you've been a tremendously great sport, and we've been, I will concede, probably not fair to you. So I want to thank you before we even get to the end of the show for being such a tremendous sport and for very, very competently, you know, arguing your point and arguing your views. So thank you very much for that. We'd love to have you back. But I do think that we would be remiss if we didn't at least touch on the Inspector General report about Hillary Clinton's emails. I think we have to at least touch on that before we end the show. So,
well, that alone could flip. I mean, if the FBI, or if that actually does move, that, like Mira Rose was saying, that could flip some superdelegates. There, I'm on your corner all of a sudden.
Okay, but when you say that, what are you talking about? If she's indicted?
She's actually indicted, but not even if she's indicted. The Inspector General report said she didn't actually break any rules. Excuse me, just said she didn't break any laws.
Right.
She broke
what it said was that
rules.
She did the same thing that four other secretaries of state probably did without really realizing that it was a problem, because the laws were changing to include electronic documents. And
right.
that's reality. The Electronic Documents Act, Electronic Signatures Act passed somewhere in between 2005, 2006, if memory serves. And so law was being written. It's still being written to govern all these things. So it's really hard to say that she broke the law. Now, I'm going to say, I'm not a fan of Hillary, but this email thing drives me a little nuts, because it's hard to say you broke the law when the law hasn't been written yet, and it's hard to say that she knowingly violated, you know, all of the securities that should have been in place to maintain these documents and the privacy and the security of the United States, blah, 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 whatever. I think if she had known she was putting things out there and had realized that people could get a hold of them, she would have taken other precautions. You know, I think there has to be some kind of intent, because the law really wasn't written yet.
Oh, they've already with the 11 congressional hearings, they've cleared her of intent.
Right, exactly. So I don't think they can really do much at this point.
Right. At this point, it's like Benghazi. I mean, it's you're kidding, right? I mean, it's not her fault. She didn't actually blow up anybody.
I'm not a fan of Hillary's, but when it comes to this, this isn't going to be the thing that does her in. And I know a lot of Bernie supporters would like to see it be the thing that, heck, I would love to say, yes, this will be the thing that gives Bernie, that this shouldn't be the thing that gives Bernie the nomination.
The one thing that I like about all the stuff getting in now before the convention, get it out now, get it out now, get it out now. so that when, you know, Trump will have all his talking points, his corrupt Hillary, his lying Hillary, all his stuff. But this will be old hat. I mean,
this is why it needs to be Sanders, because we've heard the same old song and dance on Clinton. We need a new news cycle.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Trips to Cuba, all the stuff like that. That stuff will be fabulous to talk about.
I just can't wait until somebody goes, so where's his son?
Tell us about this college that your wife worked at. How's that going?
Is there anything there, or is Jane just getting, you know, getting bumped around?
Jane is the most awesome woman ever, man. I'll tell you what, if there's a first lady you want, it's Jane. Jane is one of those women that she is going to stand behind Sanders 100%. She is going to fight his fight. She is not going to back down. You know, somebody throws an allegation out there, they better have hard documented facts, because she is... Like, and I don't know if you've ever met anybody from the Green Mountain State, but these are not, you know, nice, I'm going to say it the way it sounds like it should be said, and if you don't agree with me, I'm going to back off kind of people. No, these people stick to their guns, they carry them on their backs, and they're ready for hard labor.
That's By the way, Jake. In a Democratic primary race, maybe stick to their guns and carry them on their back, not a good metaphor.
But it is. He's not the typical Democrat, you know, that has the NRA's hatred. Well, I mean, they're not fans of his.
He likes to brag that he's got that D-minus rating, so let's not turn him into Annie Oakley.
Yeah, he's got a D-minus rating, but if you also look at his record in the state of Vermont, he does support gun rights, which
I know.
Reaches across the aisle.
I know, and that's one of the reasons why I support like Hillary guns. Clinton.
You know, I've flipped Republicans over to vote for Bernie because of the fact that he actually supports gun rights. He supports the Second Amendment.
Cool.
Over a bridge or over a building? Over what?
What have you flipped them over?
Yeah, exactly.
A teeter totter.
We're just teasing. We're just teasing.
I know.
So, Emily, Greg, is there any topics or prognostications that we should cover before the end of the show?
We covered so much stuff. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
But Hillary Clinton will be the nominee. I'm done. Drop the mic.
Boom. The only question is, will there be a Bernie Trump debate or not at this point?
Oh, it's not going to happen. He backed out.
Yeah.
Bernie backed out? No, Trump backed out. Bernie said bring it.
By the way.
Bernie said bring it, drop the mic, and Trump went, okay, I'm gone.
Even be a debate between the two of them, because it is asinine before there is a nominee on either side to even make that assumption.
I thought Trump was the nominee.
Well, he is the presumptive nominee.
I just want to say that I was one of the few Hillary supporters on Facebook that actually said, you know, a lot of the Hillary supporters were up in arms. How dare Bernie do this? He's trying to stab her in the back. It's presumptuous of him and everything. I was one of the few who said, what's the problem? If Trump wants to debate him and he wants to debate Trump and Hillary doesn't want to debate him, let him go at it. I didn't see any problem with it. So
it makes for good TV.
It makes for good TV. And Bernie Sanders has every right to debate anyone he wants. He can debate Fidel Castro. He can debate, you know.
That's not funny.
Well, he could debate Putin. No, but really, I'm being sincere. He can debate anyone he wants when he's running for president, as far as I'm concerned. If they want to debate him and he wants to debate them.
He's a skeleton.
He could, but he's running on the Democratic ticket. And... You know, if he wants to run independent, I say let him debate anybody. But this has been the problem with the Bernie Sanders campaign, is that there are rules, and every state has different rules, and every state rules suck.
You can't say that there are rules and then break them the way that Clinton has.
Save that for the next
time.
Let's
save that
on.
For the next one, because I would love to have Mira on again.
Mira, really, you have been such. I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm condescending or anything, but you've been so great, and we really appreciate it.
No problem, you're fine.
Haven't necessarily been kind to you. This is, I mean, I think since like the first time DJ came on the air, I don't think there's been as much sparks in a show as today. So,
and I'll say, we'll see if DJ actually listens to the end. You're much better than DJ there. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, DJ doesn't listen to the end of the show anyway. So,
well, we love DJ.
We love DJ.
We do love DJ.
Where is DJ this week? And Jonah, where are they?
Balticon?
Balticon.
I don't know what that is. It's
a science fiction convention.
Oh, okay. And I know it's that one of them is signing books.
Yes.
Yeah. Jonah. Yep.
Jonah is signing books, and DJ is there. And they're going to be away. I think DJ is also not going to be on the show next week. He has, I think, a political something he has to be at. I think one of the state conventions. Is that right, Em?
Politicon. Yeah.
He has something to go to. Who knows?
Right.
I'm done with all my stuff, so.
Yeah. And
now on June 18th, the Virginia Democratic Convention happens.
Ooh, are you going to run for delegate?
Yes. I will be there. I'm in the running to be a delegate at large, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I will say this. Even though we disagree on almost everything, I hope you win.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very sweet of you. I'm not entirely sure that it will happen. They have 7 slots, and it's 4 women and 3 men, because I'm sure you're familiar with the Democratic Party rules that say we have to make sure that gender is considered in everything. So we're very, very careful about how we split people up.
Yeah.
And so that 4th delegate being a female, I think, was a coin toss, which is kind of cool. We have an interesting system for how we do things. And once those people are chosen, those will be the people that go to Philly and cast Bernie's name as part of the delegates that he won from the great state of Virginia.
Well,
so,
we'll be rooting for you.
Yeah, there's like 160 people that applied and only 7 slots.
So a lot coming up. There are no primaries this week, but on Saturday, actually, there's help me out again. Which one is it? Virgin Islands?
Yeah, it's Virgin Islands.
And then on Sunday, Puerto Rico. And then, of course, the following Tuesday is the last big day of the campaign.
Right. New Jersey, California
Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, and I think the Matusak family.
Oh, gosh.
Don't forget Washington.
We're voting big.
Last one to vote on the 14th.
That's right. That's right. So a lot of fun to come. I don't think there's anything for us to predict tonight. So with that in mind, and we are running long, let's just say this was a really great and spirited show. And hopefully you will look for us on the web at moreperfectunionpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast. Rate and review us on iTunes, and please, please share our link with your Facebook friends and let them know that we do a fun podcast that is worthy of their time, and we will send you gobs and gobs of cash for the favor. With that, gobs and gobs.
Wait, you're Hillary supporters.
And so thank you for listening to A More Perfect Union, and we'll see you next week.